From the Ingalls studio, welcome to the Gwinnett Daily Post podcast. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, and happy 62nd birthday to point guard Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah's shooting eye still on. He has 16 points in the quarter, 28 in the game.
Yeah, but he's limping noticeably right now.
Thomas goes up, and Isaiah Thomas having an incredible period. He has 35 in the game, 23 in this period. And the shot again by Thomas. Can you imagine the great performance, maybe one of the best we've ever seen in one quarter in NBA Finals history?
I'm Bruce Jenkins, and here are your top stories presented by Kia Mall of Georgia. Police looking for man who fired gun in Peachtree Corners apartment complex. Microloan program expansion will support Latina entrepreneurs. Daily Post All About Kids Expo draws families for playtime and information. Also, the Stripers report with head coach Dan Dement and my conversation with Jasmine Billings for the Downtown Lawrenceville series and your Guide Weekly mental health update on what to do during an overdose. All of this and more is coming up on the Gwinnett Daily Post podcast. And if you're looking for community news, we encourage you to listen daily and subscribe.
Why buy a Kia Mall of Georgia? Kia Mall of Georgia is a family-owned business for over 20 years.
Been here in Buford for 25 years, selling cars to anyone that wants one. The reasons why you would come to a small family-owned dealership, you get that sort of family experience.
Kia Mall of Georgia makes buying, selling, or trading it easy. And that's why customers come back year after year.
We have people from out of state that will come back that have been buying cars from us for years that'll drive on in or fly on in, trade in their car, get a new one, and leave.
So come by the lot today or find us online at KiaMallOfGA.com.
Gwinnett County Police are seeking a man accused of firing a gun at a vehicle on April 11th at the Vines apartment in Peachtree Corners. The suspect, described as a black male with a thin build and short hair, demanded money from the driver before firing at the truck as it drove away. No injuries were reported. Surveillance images of the suspect have been released, showing him wearing a black shirt and light-colored pants, possibly with tattoos on his left arm. Anyone with information is urged to contact detectives at 770-513-5300 or Crime Stoppers at 404-577-8477 or visit StopCrimeATL.com. Crime Stoppers offers a cash reward for tips leading to an arrest and indictment. The Latin American Association and the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia have joined forces to support Latina entrepreneurs. The Community's Foundation Impact Investment Fund has invested $100,000 into the Latin American Association's micro-lending program, specifically for its Avanzando Juntas initiative targeting women-owned businesses. This partnership aims to empower Latina entrepreneurs and drive positive change in the community. The Latin American Association plans to use the funds to provide microloans of up to $10,000 to aspiring Latina entrepreneurs, furthering economic development in underserved communities. The collaboration aligns with the Latin American Association's goal of becoming a certified community development financial institution, enhancing economic growth and opportunity for underserved populations. The All About Kids Expo, hosted by the Daily Post, drew a large crowd at the Gwinnett County Fairground with over 600 attendees in the first hour. Activities included games, a volleyball net, Lego play area, and fire truck exploration. Children enjoyed various attractions while vendors like the Aurora Theater showcased summer camp opportunities. Realtor Becky Smith engaged kids with a coloring contest, and Publix pharmacy managers offered information about their services. Attendees expressed enjoyment and appreciation for the event, highlighting the diverse offerings and community support. We have opportunities for sponsors to get great engagement on these shows. Call 770-874-3200 for more info. We'll be right back.
In Henry County, leadership resonates with action and heart. Sheriff Reginald B. Scandrett, our 29th and pioneering African-American sheriff, embodies this spirit. His term reflects more than challenges. It symbolizes victories that glorify our resolve. From the HCSO Restorative Center's triumph to the S3 shaping of our youth for brighter futures, Sheriff Scandrett's compassion extends from advocating for law enforcement to pioneering a mental health unit, ensuring the vulnerable among us aren't overlooked. True leadership is about actions, not just words. It's about changing laws to protect those who protect us, as Sheriff Scandrett has done for injured officers. With proven dedication and unmatched commitment to our community, the choice is clear. Vote to re-elect Sheriff Reginald B. Scandrett for Henry County, for our home.
Authorized by the Committee to Re-elect Sheriff Scandrett.
Before we hit the field, let's get the latest from the field. It's time for the Stripers Report, brought to you by Cool-Ray Heating and Air. Visit CoolRay.com.
Dave Lizotte joined by Stripers hitting coach Dan Dement, new to this ball club, new to this Braves organization. Your 16th season as a coach, formerly with the Tampa Bay Rays system, now over here with Atlanta. First off, how's it going to start your time with the Braves?
It's been a great start here with the Braves. What a classy, great organization, full of great people and really good players. So it's been an easy transition for me, and you know, I credit that to the people that are here in this organization and the players that we have, and it's been great. And I'm looking forward to more.
How did you find your way over here to Atlanta's system?
Well, after last year, last 15 years, I was coaching with the Tampa Bay Rays, and after the season last year, I was let go, and Kevin Hooper, our farm director, called, and we had some conversations, and it just kind of snowballed from there, and I was super fortunate to get an opportunity to be a hitting coach in this organization and to be at this level with these guys, and it's been great.
I know it was a tough end to your 2 years as a member of the coaching staff in Tampa Bay and your 15 years overall, but what was that experience like being on the big league staff up there?
It was a great experience. You know, that I can't that's a great organization full of great people, and you know, this it's just part of the game. You know, what happened is it's just how it works sometimes, and you know, there's no bad blood, but I really enjoyed my 2 years being on that staff in the major leagues with those guys up there. It was a special time for me, and I'm really glad that I cherished those moments. And you know, if it's in God's plans, then you know I'll be back there somewhere at some point in my career. But you know, my number one priority is to be here, be present with these guys, and get these guys better every day. And I'm enjoying it.
You get a chance to work in the big leagues with the Rays, but most of your time with Tampa Bay's organization was on the minor league side. You worked at all the levels. You spent time in AAA. You were the hitting coordinator for a while as well. You work with many a player that went on to reach the big leagues. Who are some of the guys that stand out to you as your success stories along the way?
Oh, man, I've had a ton of them. Jake Cronenworth, Nate Lowe, Josh Lowe, Brandon Lau, you know, Willie Adames, Squid was with us. There's so many that have come through that organization that have been such special players and special people. And you know, it was a great ride, and I was fortunate a lot of them years to be around really, really good players. And you know, those guys are special in what they do and how they go about their work on a daily basis. And you know, it's been great.
Yeah, you really named a who's who of guys who came up through that Tampa Bay Rays organization. A lot who we saw play against Gwinnett with Durham over the years. Do you keep in contact with any of them still?
Yes, I do. I keep in contact with a lot of them. You know, the Lowe brothers and Jake Cronenworth, and you know, those guys are some of my you know, guys I really keep in contact with a lot. But I'm fortunate to be in contact with a lot of my guys, former players that I've had. And you know, even one over here on Memphis, Moises Gomez, is one of my favorite guys of all time, just a special person. And, you know, I cherish those relationships because, to be honest with you, that's kind of what it's about. In my opinion, being a good coach is developing that relationship with the players and having that relationship where those guys can trust you and then go to you, not just with hitting stuff, not just with baseball stuff, but with life stuff, too. And, you know, that's special to me, and it means a lot.
Another familiar face across the way from Memphis is their manager, Ben Johnson. You guys coached together in Durham back in 2018. What's your relationship with Ben like?
Ben's a great guy. We have a really good relationship. It's good to rekindle our friendship when we see each other across the lines. And we're both competitors, and he's a great competitor. He's a great worker. He's a great baseball guy. And, you know, I really enjoyed the year we had together in 2018, and I'm happy he's in a really good spot with St. Louis, and he's doing a good job over there.
Yeah, that 2018 season, Durham won the title here in the International League, got a chance to play for the AAA National Championship. You got a ring for that experience. What was that year like?
Oh, man, that was a special year. Not only, you know, we had the players and stuff like that, but, you know, going into the championship series against Scranton, we had the home field advantage, but there was a hurricane coming through the Carolinas at that time, so we had to move all five games in Scranton. We were still the home team for three out of the five, but it went to game five. And it was, and I had the nerves going. You know, we really wanted that one because it was such a special team, and we end up pulling through and getting the victory. But it was a great year. We were staying at a really nice hotel in Scranton that had the casino that was connected to it, and you know, I was a little concerned that our guys might be having too much fun, but I think they had fun on and off the field that series, and we end up winning the International League, which was great.
One of the guys on that team is now here in Gwinnett, Andrew Velasquez. You mentioned working with Squid in the past. What's it like being reunited with him here?
Awesome. Love that kid, too. He's a special person. Not only is he a special player, he's a great person. And when I was in Bowling Green, he was with the Diamondbacks in South Bend in low A ball. And we were watching him on the other side. We're like, man, this kid's really something else, man. He's a switch hitter with pop, a really good shortstop, and he could fly and steal bases. And then that offseason, we traded for him. So it was great to have him in our organization. I had Squid in Double A Montgomery. I had him in Durham for a few years. And then last 2 years in the big leagues when I was with Tampa, he was in Anaheim. So I can see him a little bit here and there, too. Now we're back on the same team together. It's like we haven't missed a beat.
And Squid's one of those guys that can play all over the diamond. You've got a lot of guys like that on this team. That's kind of how you were as a player. You played every position except catcher. You pitched a little bit in the Rays in the Washington Nationals system. How did that time as a player mold you as a coach?
I think it was super important those years, especially being able to play all the positions. And, you know, my job as a hitting coach, that's my main priority. But, you know, throughout my years, you're always helping out at some other facet of the game. And I felt like I was pretty well-versed in all those facets by playing all the infield positions, playing the outfield positions, and having good ideas to try to help players get better. But, you know, Squid is definitely the ultimate Swiss Army knife, and he's a sharp Swiss Army knife that has a lot of fast twitch and a lot of power coming through him. He's a twitchy guy, and, he's a special player.
Like you said, your main goal is working with the hitters down here, and certainly that has changed quite a bit in your time as a hitting coach. Now you have all the tools at your disposal, all of the various, the TrackMan, the Hawkeye, Edgertronic cameras, all that stuff that really allow guys to break down their swing. How has it evolved from your position as a hitting coach?
It's really evolved a lot. I mean, there's, you know, every guy's different. There's guys that have a more of an analytical mindset to things, so they really like the technology. They like to hear about the numbers. They like to hear about the ball flight, what the ball's doing in flight, with the ball metrics, etc. And I think it's helped me as a coach. It's helped me coach players better. But it's not for everybody. But I think the important part on the coaching side of it is to understand it and to be able to simplify it to guys, to try to help them understand it better. Because sometimes when you're hearing some people speak, it sounds like they're speaking a different language sometimes in hitting. But that's just how it's evolved. So to be a coach that can break it down into simple terms and to get guys to understand it and maybe to buy into one or two things that technology and analytics can provide for us, I think it's going to help these players, you know, down the line for sure.
Given the different mindsets of the guys on this club and the different experience levels of this veteran team, do you have some kind of broad overview stuff that you try to teach as a hitting coach, or is it really more of an individualized approach?
It's very individualized here. I mean, obviously there's the basic fundamental principles of hitting that are super important that I think that everybody is pretty aware of. But it's on an individual basis. I mean, you look at guys like Sandy Leon and Lourdes Garcia, like those guys have a lot of time in the major leagues and they have a lot of games under their belt. And those guys know how to do it. You know, I kind of see it as like, you know, those guys are Lamborghinis that are going 100 miles an hour on the interstate. And my job is to make sure that they stay on the right path. You know, every now and then you got to kind of push them back to the middle. But, you know, that's the coaching side. So with those guys, it's, you know, and most of the guys on this team, it's individualized. And I want these guys to be themselves on a daily basis while we still continue to work on the things that they need to work on and let that just kind of evolve on its own, you know, and it's a process. The season's very early right now, and, you know, I told the guys the other day after coming back from the trip in Omaha that, you know, I was super proud of the way that they handled themselves during that series, and they kept fighting back, and, you know, it was a back-and-forth series, and there's a lot of runs scored. We spent some time on defense, which is part of the game, and those guys never threw away any at-bats, and that's just a credit to who they are as people and to who they are as competitors, you know, and That as a coach, to be honest with you, all I can really ask for out of these guys is that they prepare themselves every day and they come in with the right mindset and attitude and they give it their best. And they definitely have done that so far this year. And I'm going to make sure that they continue to do that. I'm going to do the best I can to make sure that they continue to do that, and I think they will.
That's Stripers hitting coach Dan DeMent, new to this Braves organization. Thank you so much for your time, Dan. We'll catch up with you down the line as well.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Appreciate it.
Why talk to Tom M. Wages Funeral Home Service today? You remove the financial and emotional stress from your loved ones. On the worst day of their lives, your family doesn't need to add financial stress to the pain of loss. You protect them. A pre-funded, pre-arranged funeral allows your family to grieve and mourn without the worry of how to pay. Plus, the peace of mind you have knowing everything is taken care of is priceless. Don't leave the worry and stress to your loved ones. Take care of your funeral pre-arrangements now. Let the family service professionals at Tom M. Wages in Snellville or Lawrenceville help you. Call Tom M. Wages today at 770-979-3200 or email jim@wagesfuneralhome.com. Tom M. Wages, the most respected and requested funeral home in Gwinnett County.
Stay connected with your community and honor those who have passed with the latest obituaries from Gwinnett County, Georgia. Brought to you by Tom Wages Funeral Home, providing compassionate care and support during life's most difficult moments. Today we honor Samuel Clifford Crosby, Shirley Ann Lamb, and Joanne Welch Mack. Tune in for the latest updates on the Gwinnett Daily Post podcast. Welcome to the DTL Download Series. We're bringing you exciting guests who uncover what's happening in Lawrenceville. And here's today's guest.
Welcome back to the Gwinnett Daily Post podcast. I'm very happy to have Jasmine Billings from the Lawrenceville Legacy Leaders. So this is a lot of description of your title. You're the Director of Community and Economic Development for the city of Lawrenceville. So what we're doing is getting to know people in Lawrenceville and what they do. And there's a couple of events we're going to talk about with you. But Jasmine, thank you for being on this. So if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved and how you became the Director of Community and Economic Development.
Absolutely. So excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me on. I actually started with the city of Lawrenceville in 2017 as an event coordinator. And so my background in sports, I really wanted to learn more about the events and outreach world. So it's a little different than what I went to school for, but I love it because I get to touch so many different things. And so starting as an event coordinator, I was really able to learn about partnerships, learn about outreach, learn about what makes a city grow and just become such a phenomenal community. And so I learned about what it means to really build a sense of place. And so as I've started and just grown through the ranks here, I've just learned why it's so important to build community in your own backyard. Fun fact, grew up in Lawrenceville / Snellville area. So it's really cool to be here. I call it my hometown because I think it shaped me the most. And so that's really exciting. And then within this role, I always tell people that even though it may be like this really long title, I always say that the people who visit Lawrenceville, live in Lawrenceville, shop in Lawrenceville, eat in Lawrenceville, it's my job and my team's job to make sure that they feel a sense of place here. They can see themselves in the art pieces that we bring along the area. They can see themselves in the events that we have here at the lawn or just around the area. The businesses that we have here, they feel engaged, and the youth that we have here, which we'll talk more about, but their voices are heard and we give them a platform to really just share about the things that they want to see in their community. And so a long title, but it's really cool to just see it grow. And like I mentioned, we have a really great team of people who love what we all do because we get to touch so many different things on a given day.
Well, so you're a native of Lawrenceville and Snellville. So you've seen the area grow hugely, immensely.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's so funny because I think about even driving on Scenic Highway or coming to downtown Lawrenceville, like what my friends and I did when we were growing up and going to Steak and Shake and now seeing all the different stores and hotels and things of that nature coming along the way and just seeing how like the growth has just really just evolved over time. And you look at the stores that you once, you know, used to shop in or go to when you were younger and then see what's there now. And so that's really huge too. But it's all about community, right? And so that stuff couldn't happen if the community wasn't really involved or engaged or just wanting to see more growth in their community as well. So I think that's what we do here in Lawrenceville really well. We do a lot of engagement pieces, and we do a lot of things that it's not just about our city leadership's thoughts and opinions, but they really do a great job at engaging our community members to make sure that the things that we're bringing into the community, they want to also see. And so I think that's a really huge stamping point.
Oh, absolutely. That sounds great to hear. So there's a lot of events going on in Lawrenceville. We've talked about the boogie, the downtown boogie, which sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes.
But you're involved in some other events. So I'm going to touch on, I guess we can talk about the Lawrenceville Legacy Leaders. If you could explain that and what goes on with that.
Yeah. So our Lawrenceville Legacy Leaders is a youth leadership program in partnership with Impact 46. And so over 8 months, we engage 40 or so students from 5 different high schools in Lawrenceville. That's inclusive of Central Gwinnett, Discovery High School, GSMST, Maxwell, and Phoenix High School. And they're able to really learn about becoming civically engaged, but also growing their community. They're able to build their peer-to-peer sphere. They're able to learn from other students who don't go to the same schools as them, and also able to build out a wellness event, which is really nice. And so they're able to really work together over the course of 8 months to really just build their community in their backyard and showcase what they want to see overall. And so the partnership with Impact 46 has been really great because we're able to utilize different staff in our strengths, right? And so with the students who they meet on the second Tuesday of the month from 4:30 to 6:30, we had like a 95% attendance rate, which is really exciting because that means they really want to be there. They want to be involved. From this last cohort, this is our second year, we have about 14 students coming back, which is in our Legacy Leaders Mentors program, where they can actually mentor the new class of students coming in. So there's this continuous pipeline from that, which is really exciting. And so we are just excited to have the students want to engage, and we continue to grow the program. So we'll be in our third year. Applications are open up April 29th, and so we're really excited about that. And so they'll be open from April 29th through May 24th, and we're expecting to have a lot of applications. We had over 90 last year.
Wow.
We're expecting to have, you know, double that this year, just because it's really, word of mouth is really powerful. And I think that, you know, you can create all the marketing pieces and flyers and push it out on social media, but if the students don't feel engaged and the students don't feel like they're bought into it, it's really hard to connect with other students like them. And so being able to have the students really bought into the program and just shaping this program, it's been really incredible. And we know that we'll have more to come just because they're really bought into it.
So if somebody's interested in joining this program, how do they go about it? You mentioned an application process. So where do you find that?
So you can find that on our Lawrenceville website. If you go to lawrencevillega.org and click on Legacy Leaders, all of the information will be listed there as far as when the applications open, the program goals and the objectives, the requirements for the students. And so you can find all of that there. Our team will also be in the schools in the next couple of weeks once the applications open to kind of help the students navigate the application process. And so we have a lot of different layers. We're also going to be sending it out to all of our businesses because we know we have some students who are in the area that also may be homeschooled. So we really want to make sure that we pull those students in as well if they're interested. So we have a lot of different ways for people to connect. But lawrencevillega.org, Legacy Leaders tab, and it will share with you all of the information from there.
Awesome. All right. So there's another event going on that I need to know more about. So, you know, I've been to downtown Lawrenceville. It's a wonderful place, a lot of fun. It feels like a small town in a big city, and there's a lot of small businesses, and there's an event. I believe it's May the 1st. It's a Wednesday. Doing Business in Lawrenceville event. What is this and what goes on?
Well, during that week, I believe it's April 29th through the 3rd, it's National Small Business Week. And so we have a great city leadership and one of our council members who's an advocate for our small businesses. And so we really developed this event out of that idea. So Doing Business in Lawrenceville, in honor of National Small Business Week, we partner with the Gwinnett Entrepreneur Center, which is located right here in downtown, which is really nice to have as a catalyst in our area. And we host a panel discussion where we talk through zoning and finance and business licensing. This year, we're going to talk about lease agreements. We have a lot of small businesses businesses who want to have a brick and mortar, but they need to understand what it means to review their lease agreements. And so we have a really great partner who's going to be our panelist, who's going to be speaking on some do's and don'ts, as well as we have someone from the Small Business Administration that will be coming in to talk about capital and funding and just different funding mechanisms. And so this event, like you mentioned, May 1st from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. at the Gwinnett Entrepreneur Center. It's a hybrid event, which is really nice. And so you can join online and you can join in person or in person. And it's for the members at the Gwinnett Entrepreneur Center. So they do a really great job at, you know, engaging the community and having members who want to learn more about how to become, you know, they're entrepreneurs and they want to grow their business or scale their business. And so the Entrepreneur Center has a lot of great resources that can help them. And so when we're able to do this event here, it allows for people to get an understanding of how to do business here in Lawrenceville. So if you want to have a footprint here, if you want to have a business here, if you want to learn more about your business license and the fees that come with it, or maybe you want to have a model that also includes alcohol, we talk through all those processes to make sure that you get a full scope of it. But then you get to leave with connections. And I think that's really nice, too. I mentioned this phrase of peer to peer, and it's really important to have peers that, you know, are going through the same things that you're going through that you can tap into and learn from. And so you leave with a lot of great connections, and you also get to leave with connections from the panels. And so we have our assistant finance director who's going to be on the panel, our deputy planning director. She's going to be on the panel as well. Like I mentioned, Small Business Administration, and then a broker who's going to be on the panel as well. So we have some really great panelists who are just experts in their fields. I am not the expert by any means. And so it's nice to bring in people who want to share and educate our community on, you know, just how they can be engaged and where and some of the resources that we have for them. And so we expect a big turnout. It was a really great one last year. This is our second one.
Awesome. So Wednesday, May the 1st from 1 to 3 p.m. Doing Business in Lawrenceville event. And how can people sign up for this? Can they just show up or what?
If they go to GwinnettCounty.com and click on the Gwinnett Entrepreneur Center, like they have a tab there, it actually lists out the workshops and you can apply. You can actually sign up to go there. We also, if you go to our DTL website or our social media channels on Facebook and Instagram and things of that nature, we have a direct link that will take you to sign up from there as well. And so I encourage everyone to follow us on socials. That's where you're going to get the most information. We also have really great, our communication team does a really great job at just sharing on our in our kiosk on our downtown square and just in different mediums. But on social media is where you can find the exact link to then apply or to register for the actual event.
Awesome. Sounds like a great event if you're looking to start a small business. So Jasmine Billings, the Director of Community and Economic Development for the City of Lawrenceville, it's been a pleasure talking to you and keep up the great work. Lawrenceville is a real special place.
Thank you so much. It's been great talking with you too. And I can't wait to hopefully see everyone at our events in the upcoming future.
This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian. Are you looking to save money on your grocery shopping trip? Don't overlook Laura Lynn products. Laura Lynn is our store brand or private label line of products that taste great and represent great savings for you and your family. So be sure and give Laura Lynn products a try.
And now here's your guide mental health update on what to do during an overdose.
We're here with Amir Abdul-Hafid. She's the program director for suicide prevention at Guide, Inc. What can the community do if they're, you know, just in case if there's an overdose, they see somebody overdosing, what can people do with this?
If you come across that somebody that perceives that they're in overdose, you might see that they're completely unconscious, but they're breathing, but they're unconscious. Blue lips, blue fingertips, that kind of thing. Those are signs. Start out by trying typical CPR. You can rub the sternum, which is that area like right above the chest, and rub it really hard. If they're in a true overdose and unconscious, then they're not going to wake up. If they're asleep, then that's going to wake them up because it's hard. Even if you try to do it to yourself, it's going to be hard. What you'll need to do is go ahead and if you are alone, go ahead and call 911, have 911 on the phone while you are administering Narcan, if you have it, hopefully, but definitely call 911 first, have them on the line. If you have Narcan, go ahead and proceed to administer Narcan. Unfortunately, we're seeing sometimes now that it's taking more than one dose. of Narcan to revive somebody and resuscitate somebody from an overdose, what you'll want to do is administer one dose, wait 2 to 3 minutes. If they're not revived, then use the second dose, which every box that you get of Narcan comes with two doses. So with the second dose, use the opposite nostril than what you've used for the first one and try it again. All the while having 911 on the line so an ambulance medical emergency can get there. Some tips as well, once you administer Narcan and they are starting to revive and you're seeing that they're waking up, step back. Two reasons. One, they could be really mad because their high was destroyed. Also, they could be sick and nobody wants to get vomited on. So just kind of just step back, give them a little bit of their space. Hopefully the first responders will be there by that time.
For more information and resources, please visit guideinc.org. Thanks again for hanging out with us on today's Gwinnett Daily Post podcast. If you enjoy these shows, we encourage you to check out our other offerings like the Cherokee Tribune Ledger podcast, the Marietta Daily Journal, the Community podcast for Rockdale, Newton, and Morgan counties, or the Paulding County News podcast. Read more about all our stories and get other great content at GwinnettDailyPost.com. Did you know over 50% of Americans listen to podcasts weekly? Giving you important news about our community and telling great stories are what we do. Make sure you join us for our next episode and be sure to share this podcast on social media with your friends and family. Add us to your Alexa Flash Briefing or your Google Home Briefing, and be sure to like, follow, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is a production of the BG Ad Group, all rights reserved.